Our scripture reading today comes from Deuteronomy 6, 10 through 12. When the Lord your God has brought you into the land that he swore to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you a land with fine, large cities that you did not build, houses filled with all sorts of goods that you did not fill, hewn cisterns that you did not hew, vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. And when you have eaten your fill, take care that you do not forget the Lord, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, if you were here last Sunday, this room was packed last Sunday, and today we're talking about money. And look, where are you? Where are you? The passage is very interesting, very controversial, the promise of the promised land to the people, the Hebrew people, the people of God coming out of Egypt, coming out of slavery. The promise is not the controversial part. The controversial part is the fact that they had to enter a land that was not theirs and remove the occupants of that land, the rightful owners maybe the ones who did build the houses and did plant the vineyards, they had to remove them from there. I want to acknowledge this because it's not an easy topic, not an easy topic to contradict the scripture. I just want to acknowledge it. That's not my message today, but my message revolves around the fact that God is giving God's people what God's people need. And the description of that promised land, the description of that society they're going to be establishing in the promised land is very similar to what our society is like. Because I don't know about you, but I live in a house that I did not build. And I have things in my house that I have not put there. Appliances and artifacts and things that I did not choose, I did not buy, I did not place. They were there already. We eat food we have not produced. We go to the supermarket and buy. And those of us who try to be health conscious and good and you know, try to do things the right way, we buy fresh produce and things we have not planted, for sure, have not cultivated. But then those of us who take the liberty of not being that health conscious, go and buy ready-made food. You go to the supermarket, open those refrigerators, buy those boxes of food already made, pop them in the microwave. I've had my share of that. So this description is very accurate for us. We can relate to this. We are living like that. We are living in places we have not prepared. We are living in places and doing things and using things we have not made, we have not produced, we have not cultivated. So, today we're talking about money. With this in mind, let me tell you a few things I came up with to say about money this week, because I've been thinking a lot about it. I mean, when you have to preach on Sunday about a topic, you tend to think all week about it. And I came up with this. Money is identity and self-worth. Identity and self-worth. We don't use our money to build houses. We don't use our money to plant vineyards. We don't use our money that way. So we use some money in different ways. And that's what I want us to think about today. How do we use our resources? Resources that were given to us. Resources that represent our identity and our self-worth. Why? Well, because we get money through our effort. Most of us in this room, not only today, but mostly the whole congregation, we get money because we work. Right? The old-fashioned way. We are there. We get money because we work. And we work because we have enough health to be able to work. We work because we have enough energy to work. And we have to invest energy, even if you do a desk job and not a physical job. Well, you put a lot of effort into that desk job. This comes very close to home, because yesterday we found out that our youngest son lost his job. He was laid off. And he got this job a year ago bought a house. So he incurred in a lot of debt. He and his family, wife and the kids. So he lost his job. Not to his fault, the company just decided to close the program in which he was a program manager because it was not working for them. He has put so much effort, 1 year of investing his best effort, putting his best foot forward to be deemed worthy of the chance they gave him. And he lost it. The problem with him is not necessarily, he is a millennial. The problem with him is not that he won't be able to pay the house, or it may come to that, but Lord willing, he will get another job before it gets to that. But the problem is the issue of self-worth. His identity is based on what he does. When you pick up the phone and you call him, his name is Johnny, he goes by Johnny. You call Johnny, all he talks about is his job. All he talks about is his job, because he's so proud and so happy to do what he's doing. And he explains things to you that you would not understand in a million years if you don't work for that company, but he explains it with detail because that's his life. So what happens to you when your identity is based on what you do and you lose it? You lose your self-worth. And then you lose your money. And then you realize that both have become one and the same. So, can we pray for Johnny? And I will pray for all of you that none of you had to go through that. And some of us are beyond work. Some of us are retired. Like, we are the lucky ones. We are retired, so we are on fixed income. But that's a good word, though. It's fixed. We don't have to worry about things. Not too much. So money is identity and self-worth. But money is also power. You probably heard this before, right? Yeah. If not from a pulpit, from a movie, somewhere, a book you read, you deal with this in your job every day. Money is power. Actually, the powerful use their money to move things to their advantage in the world. Money is what facilitates wars, because you need weapons and you need money to buy weapons for war. Money is what puts some people in jail and takes some other people from jail. money has a lot to do with it. You know, in California, they removed the bail system, the bailing out system, because it was so unfair that people of means were able to pay their bail and go free, and poor people could not. So the jails were filled with poor people who couldn't pay their bail. So they went to a ballot and they removed that a couple years ago. Money is power. When you have it, you're very powerful. When you don't have it, you feel you can do nothing. I don't know how many of you had the privilege of living in poverty at some point in your life, maybe even today. I remember that's the reason we came from Argentina to this country, because we were in such poverty that it was virtually impossible to feed our family anymore. And we made a drastic decision and decided that we could not live in that country anymore. Because it wasn't us. It wasn't because we were not working. It was not because we didn't do what we had to do. It was because the systems in place didn't allow anybody to raise their head above water. And then we came here. We were poor immigrants. When you're an immigrant, there's no other kind. Well, yeah, there are other kinds of immigrants. People who come with a handbag of money. But the majority of the immigrants are poor immigrants. Because we come, you come, you don't have anything, you have to start from scratch at an age that you're not 4 or 5 years old. We were 26 and 28 when we immigrated here and had already 3 kids. It wasn't easy. We felt that we didn't have any power. We felt that we couldn't do anything. That we had to just try to survive. You get into a survival mode. You do nothing else. Nothing else. Money is power. That's why Jesus admonishes us on how to use our money. And he says, you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve God and money, because money is as powerful as a god. Money is power. So keep this in mind. Money is power. And money is self-worth and identity. And I'm going to propose to you this morning that money is also a faith tool. A faith tool. Because we can use the power of money, as little as we may have, to push our values. To push our values. And that is something we can do right here. We can do that right here in Urban Grace. We can push our values. We can push our values of equity. We can push our values of diversity. We can push our values of social justice. We can push our values of inclusion. We can push our values of love and mercy and compassion and understanding and dialogue. We can push our values with our money. And you are sitting there asking, what are you saying? Are you saying that we will bribe people in this church so we can push our values? Not talking about that. Not talking about that. But when you pledge your money to the ministry of this church, you're pushing those values. When you put your billfold, your purse, where your heart is, you push your values. When you support with your money, the initiatives of an organization that is doing what in your heart you know you should be doing. It's your way of doing it through that organization, because we are a family. And because what one of us does, all of us do. So money is a faith tool. In other words, when you feel that pledge, God, you are telling God, I believe in you and I believe in what you can do through us in this church. I believe in you and I believe that together we can achieve something better. Not that we are perfect, but we are trying to be better. We are constantly trying to be better. And we will be better together if we join our efforts. If we put our best effort forward. If we put our identities at the service of what we believe, then we will be using our money with power. We will be using our money with purpose. We will be using our money with faith. So the passage ends by saying, well, look at everything you have and don't forget God. Don't forget God. When you are thankful, and this month of November is the month of Thanksgiving, when you sit around and you look around, look at your life, and you are thankful for so many things you have. Things and people and feelings and relationships and every blessing you can count. Don't forget God. Don't forget God is the one who gives us all that and even more. And if you are lacking, if you are wanting, if you are still not there in your goals, guess what? God is the one who can make you get there. So, don't forget God. And if God, well, I was going to say if God were here. I know God is here. God is here. But if we could hear the voice of God this morning, God would be saying something like this.
Yeah, what can I do for you, Rod? You just tell me, what can I do for you?
It's a very personal, very important thing. Hell, it's a family model. Are you ready, Jeff?
I'm ready.
Just want to make sure you're ready, buddy. Here it is. Show me the money.
Who's talking to you? Oh, no!
Jerry, use money.
Okay, now you can do better than that, Jerry. I want you to say what you put me in, bro. Hey, I got Bob Sue on the other line. I better hear you say it.
Yeah, no. Show you the money.
Not show you. Show me the money.
Show me the money.
Yes. Louder.
Show me the money.
That's it, bro. You got to yell that shit.
Show me the money.
I need to feel you, Jerry.
Show me the money.
Jerry, you better yell.